likes to touch himself. Dracula hates the Welsh. They're the two weirdest guys near ya. So come and bask in their power for about an hour. It's Atomic Disaster Theater.
Recession. The big R. I guess the second big R word that the nation should be concerned with anyway. I get questioned all the time by the authorities and also by people, by normal people, by normal folks out there and in here in the world. And the hot button topic, the question on everyone's supple lips, on their supple kissable lips, is of course, recession. Are we in a recession? You guys know me by now, and I speak in definites because I know shit. I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but yes. We're not only going to be in a recession, we're in one right now. But here's the thing. I don't believe in recessions. Or fiscal responsibility. Really. Here's my thing. The world of business and the world of finance is filled with bullshit, right? So I really think that this whole recession thing, because you know, if you look up economic reports or listen to somebody in a suit speak, because obviously they know what's going on. They took the time to go get a suit. You know, do you have a suit? I didn't think so. So moving on. Now that that's been proven, now that your lack of suit has been debunked, we may move on. Here's what happens in business. I don't care what it is. You could, whether it's Amazon, well, Amazon's not the best example, but whether it's any company that's not numero uno, right? If you're in a business, all you do is look at the same company in your business that's number one and just do what they do. That's all it is. It's a giant fist fuck, follow the leader, happy dance. That is what economics is. That is what business is. It's all the same thing. When you're dealing with money, well, really, when you're dealing with anything, all anyone does is look at who's doing the best and do exactly what they do. Just wait. Watch, do what they do, hope for the best. And these are what we call experts who make way more money than you or I will ever see in our entire lifetimes. Because the world is bullshit. And I think that, you know, all this, oh, well, this company, the tech company stopped hiring. And then this, you know, like nobody's hiring now and we have a labor shortage, but nobody's hiring. I don't understand. These two things seem retardedly opposed, but whatever. Again, guy in suit, just shut up, smile and nod and go about your day and pay $8 for a gallon of fucking gasoline. But. We're in a recession. It's only going to get worse. And here's why. Because once one company gets spooked, see, people or corporations, anything involving a ton of money, they're like deer, right? And deer are just dying to get scared. Okay, you ever see a deer? It looks like it's having six nervous breakdowns at the same, you know, if a twig snaps, that's it. Nervous hospital time for deer, right? I get it. Prey animals, what have you. But nature aside, the cruel circle of life aside, if one big giant company says, ah, shit, I'm scared, guys, let's run, stop hiring people, stop spending money, oh my God, the world's going to end, then guess what? We're in a recession. That's it. Whether we're in one or not is irrelevant. If the biggest conglomerate of people in suits does a thing, then we're in the thing, no matter what, because all the other companies will say, wait a minute, what happened? They stopped hiring? Well, then they must know something we don't. So we'll do that too, because they're the best and we want to be where they are. So just do what they do. See, which goes back to Dave's theory of relativity / nonsense / retarded nonsense. We up the ante to retarded nonsense only when the threat levels indicate thus. So it's all a joke. It's all a laugh out loud, slap yo motherfucking knee joke. And this economic crisis is just the latest punchline in the in that particularly long line. I heard what's her name? The person who she runs the Federal Bureau of made up money. It's like, how does this work again? Like, you just type. I'll never under. Okay, all right. Well, I'm gonna do my best to keep on topic. So Janet Yellen apparently is her name. I don't know. I just know she sounds really strange. She sounds like an alien who just possessed a human body and is just figuring out mouths and like how to. I'm sorry. Look, I don't know. Maybe she has like a health problem or something. I don't know. But she talks fucking weird. All right. I can't do a very good impression of her because it would just devolve into an Arnold Schwarzenegger impression, because that's the only thing. That's just my default. But she's weird sounding. They were talking, that somebody asked her about like inflation or something. And she was like, yeah, man, we fucked up. Like we got that. We were wrong on that. Sorries. And, you know, again, depending on what side you're on and whose news station you choose to listen to, that can mean one of two things. You either reacted with, what the fuck, you don't know, it's your job to know, oh, killer, everybody, crucify. Personally, as far as I'm concerned, I thought it was pretty refreshing. It was like, wait a minute, you mean you're just going to say you fucked up? You're not going to blame Grimace from McDonald's commercials? Really? You're taking the L on this? You're just saying, oh, yeah, we made a mistake. We fucked up. We didn't see this coming. I don't have a problem with that. Like, I may sound stern. I may sound strict. I may sound, oh, I don't know. Like, I need to talk to someone in a suit. But if somebody just says, I'm sorry, man, I messed up, my mistake, I apologize. I'm like, 9 out of 10 times, like, unless you set a loved one on fire, I'm probably going to be okay with that. Because I think by this point in my life, I'm so used to default, nobody knows what's going on. It's not I didn't do nothing. It's not me. But blame this, blame that. Some guy halfway across the world did something bad, and that's why now I can't find a parking spot or something like that. Whatever, man. If you're just going to say, well, I fucked up, I like that. I like that. I fuck up all the time. I'm fucking up right now as we speak. I'm also crocheting a nice tablecloth. I don't know if that makes sense or works, but we'll go with it. But if I was, I'd fuck it up. You know, see, I just fucked that up. I don't know references. I don't know crochet references. See, look, I said it wrong. I fucked up. See, that's my fault. Sorry. And I just, I, I like that. I don't know. I get it. I understand, right? I'm a reasonable man. I think it's tricky and dumb and stupid. And I still can't get over the fact, and I don't think that people think about this nearly enough as they should. I know I don't. I don't know. Every now, I think because it's horrifying. When I do think about it, I want to go to the bathroom in my pantaloons, right? The fact that your entire life is keystrokes from being destroyed. Like you are a delete button away from literally having nothing. Your life savings, your fucking, your identity, everything's in a computer somewhere, right? A couple of backspaces, and guess what? You don't exist. You know, if somebody just goes into your bank account and just puts 0.00, enter, guess what you have? Nada, my friend. Isn't that zany? Isn't that kooky? You work your, like, you know, no matter what you got, like me, I got $3 and a bag of beans in the bank. But let's say you're doing well for yourself. Let's say you actually, oh, I don't know, paid attention in school and you're doing okay, or you're doing great. Let's say you're a big wig out there and you're doing quite well for yourself. Your life, your everything is on a computer somewhere. That's it. You don't have money. Nobody has money. We have a screenshot of a couple numbers in a database somewhere. And nobody's keeping that's what I don't really get about all this. Like, you do realize there's at least a few people just making this shit up and just typing in, like, you know, like, that's why I don't understand national debt. Well, there's a great deal of things I don't understand, but things like, oh, we owe so-and-so billions and billions of dollars. Okay, go on a computer, type, hey, we paid you, blah, 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 blah. There you go, look, and then you put this number in your account, and then we're fine. I don't know. No, I think that's how, I honestly believe that's how life operates. That's how life works, and just nobody's going to say anything because nobody knows what's going on. Because if you, it's one of those things where you don't want to look a hard truth in the eyes. It's like if your uncle comes to Thanksgiving, let's call him, oh, I don't know, Uncle Rave. If your Uncle Rave shows up and he's drunk and he's not wearing pants and he's, you know, saying, let's just say, questionable things, nobody wants to admit maybe Uncle Rave has a problem. So they'll just ignore it. They'll just act along to get along. That, I don't think that's its phrase, but it, go along to get along. But I like act along better. For some reason, it sounds more intellectual for me. You just go along with it because it's either that, or you have an intervention with Uncle Rave, and nobody wants to do that. Nobody, like, let's not be sad. Let's not, I just want to, you know, you just want to go about your day. You're not going to be there too long. It's like, look, I wasn't intending on spending that long with my family for Thanksgiving. If I just kind of grin and bear it and we all act like everything's kosher, I'm out of here in like an hour. But if we have to actually sit down and do a thing and wait for him to sober up, this could take days. And I got shit to do. Maybe have a long weekend. You don't want to spend it all in fucking heavy shit. So you just kind of, I really think that's what's going on with the vast majority of topics in the world. Nobody knows what's happening. Nobody knows what's going on. Nobody knows who's in control. And it's just your guess is as good as fucking mine. I'm just glad that when I stick my card in a reader somewhere, it works. Most times. I mean, that's kind of all we can hope for in this crazy, 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 crazy day where the money you have isn't actual money and everything's just on a hard drive somewhere, and God help us all. If that hard drive goes kaboom boom or whatever the fuck, I don't know. I just don't know anymore. But it's crazy. But yes, we are in a recession, and that means, of course, I don't know what that means. Money's bad now. Nobody's going to spend money. Companies aren't going to spend. Okay, man. Okay. And you know, I've lived through recessions before. There was one happening, you know, when I was a younger man. What was it? Was it 2008? I don't remember. But there was one in the 2000s, early 2000s, or something like that. And I don't remember any. I was like, well, gas is $9. Oh, whatever. I'll have money. Who cares? Whatever. Whatever. And you know, we're going through a lot of problems right now in the world, and I have the answer. It's not an answer you're going to like. Nobody's going to like my answer. But you guys know, deep down you know. Again, it's the Uncle Rave at Thanksgiving situation. You know what needs to be done. You know the answer, but it's a hard answer. You're going to have to accept a couple of things. So you just go about your day, and you try not to think about it. But it's all a joke. It's all nonsense. It's complete and utter rubbish, and nobody knows what they're talking about. Janet Yellen said so, and she's the boss of imaginary money. She makes up imaginary money. She's the one sitting behind a computer going, and raking in a lot more money than you to do so. To tell you at the end of the day, oops, I don't know, beats me. So take that as you will. I guess, but it's pretty funny. It's pretty funny. And, you know, like, I understand a lot of people out there. It's not funny. Because for me, for Dave, I don't care. I don't. It's like, yeah, everything sucks. And my money is worth less. Well, hey, guess what? Join the club. Like, what is it? Oh, let me guess. It's Tuesday next. Not a big deal. I never really had a tremendous amount of stuff, so I don't care. It's just whatever. It's just another day being fucking poor. But I realize this, and I'm grateful, sincerely grateful, because I get to be poor on my own. See, in Dungeons and Dragons, because all my life examples go back to Dungeons and Dragons, they have a thing called alignment. Right. And alignment's like your moral center. It's a broad baseline of kind of where you fall on the good guy, bad guy spectrum. And there's the, like, you know, there's neutral, lawful, and chaotic. And then there's good, evil, and neutral. So you pick one and then you pick another one from the list. And that's kind of what that tells a bit about your character. Right. So you could be lawful, neutral, lawful, good, chaotic, good, neutral, evil, whatever the fuck, right? And I already forgot where this example was going. I had something. I swear this was going somewhere. And I think I heard like a bell ring somewhere, and my mind just went blank. I have no idea. Inflation happened. Mental inflation with a side of mental retardation just kind of took its toll on my mind. Right, I got it. Okay, I'm sorry. I am, so just like in D&D, there's like lawful good, lawful evil, blah, blah, blah. My financial alignment is like playful poor. That's a good one for me because, you know, like, because I... My ultimate financial advice, which has just done wonders for me and my situation, but I'll share it with you because I am a beneficial man. You know, I'm poor, but I'm not married and I don't have kids. So I'm playful poor. Like, my poor is kind of fun. It's sort of like, I don't have much, but what I do have, I can just get whatever I want. So, playful poor is a good place to be. Really. I mean, honestly, like, I can get by with little, and I could also play around because I don't have things like, oh, I don't know, adult responsibilities to take care of. And if you do, well, you know, that sucks. I'm sorry. Like, it's not fun. All this talk about recession and inflation and blah, 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 things I don't understand. Things nobody understands, really. It's just whatever. It's just what's wrong today. Oh, this? Okay, great. We don't know. We don't know. When's it going to stop? I don't know. I get paid to stop things. I don't know. Who knows? Who knows? And which is, you know, which is kind of upsetting because I could do that. I'm super good at apologizing. Are you kidding? I screw up all the time. Let me do that job. I'll give the most heart. You know, it's like, I'm very, in my spirit, I'm very Japanese. I really am. Because in Japanese culture, it doesn't matter if you're sorry or not. It doesn't matter how you feel. It just matters how you present yourself. So, you know, like when, if somebody's apologizing for something, they'll cry and they'll hyperventilate and they'll really, really go overboard. They don't mean it, of course. Duh. But it's about the show. It's about the show of sincerity, right? I get that. I'm with that. And I can do that with the best of them. Like I will grovel and weep and, you know, I'll be a mess. I'll be an absolute mess and you will feel bad for me at how bad I screw up my job. And I'll do it for 20% of what Janet Yellen makes. I will do it. I'll go out there on the news. I'll be like, guys, I'm so sorry. Oh my God. I screwed up so bad. I don't know what I'm doing. And I, just every day of the week for 8 hours straight, I will do that. Gladly. I don't even need benefits. How about that? What a deal you'll be getting. Federal Reserve, which is neither federal nor has anything in reserve. So there's my application, really. You know, I mean, I'm just trying to move up in the world, but by any means necessary. And yeah, it's ridiculous. So, like, I remember in what was it, Legend? I keep wanting to say Lord of the Five Rings, Legend of the Five Rings, which is like a samurai type role play game. I remember they had I believe one of the skills you could have is sincerity. They had you could actually roll a sincerity, right? Like if you're going to apologize or something or grovel or beg or whatever, you just roll a sincerity. And it's like, it's pretty much how much bullshit can you shovel in somebody's mouth before they believe you? So, hey, I mean, at least somebody said we screwed up. I think that's progress. That is progress to me, as opposed to just blaming somebody else at the end of the day. You know, you just say, hey, I fucked up. Sorry. We didn't see this one coming. Sorry about that whole $9.50 for gas thing. Okay. I mean, I don't have a car. You don't have to apologize to me. It could be $87 a drop. But again, playful poor. So in closing, if you have kids or you have a wife, well, that's on you, man. You fucking should kept it in your drawers. I don't know what to tell you. But I'm having fun. So sorry. Sorry about that. All that stuff there. So sorry about all that stuff there. Atomic Disaster Theater episode 100, I don't know. Episode 100, whosamawatchits. Episode 135. 35 alive in the house. But I'm not just here predicting financial futures. I'm not just here recessioning. I'm not here apologizing for my inability to do, anything. Cook, bathe myself properly, change batteries and smoke detectors on a consistent basis here, or any of that. All by my lonesome, heavens to Betsy Nosies, sitting directly to my left, looking remarkably recession-proof, looking infinitely fiscally responsible. He is the man of the hour, the Tower of Power. He'll devour toddlers. He is the one, the only, the immortal, Count Dracula. What it is, Count. What it is and what it will be. The floor is yours. Sweep it. But wait, before you do, before you get to sweeping, how about we make the mood just that much more romantic, that much more erotic? Let's light a candle. Light a candle for me, Count. Because you know how much I love a nice romantic snuggle in the middle of a podcast. There we go. A nice golden glow of a nice pretty red candle. You like that. Look at you. Look at all those wrinkles, all those cronkles, creases and valleys and face cleavage you have going on. And, you know, the way the golden candlelight flickers off your pink veins and your ghastly gray skin. It's very scientifically interesting, isn't it?
Good evening. It's very nice to be here today, Dave. Even though your comments about my physical appearance aren't the nicest.
No, I'm saying you're very ghastly by candlelight. Yeah, all right. I guess I was a little harsh. A little bit. I was a little bit harsh. You're right. I'm sorry. Count, I'm just so fiscally upset right now. I don't know. It's just the state of our nation is always funny. I don't know. Strange. But Count, what do you think? You're a noble. Well, a disgraced nobleman, but a noble nonetheless. So none of this is a stranger to you as far as fiscal policy. I'm sure in Transylvania back in the day you had coffers. You know, somebody had to buy all those spikes you were impaling peasant butts with. So, I mean, you can actually speak to this. What are some of your financial tips for people out there who are feeding their kids a nice heaping, helping bowl of lice for breakfast? Could you give us a few Transylvanian financial pointers? Because the prosperity of that particular place is renowned across the globe. Please, if you would.
Oh, well, Dave, it's funny you should ask, because yes, I was very fiscally responsible when I was in charge, and I had a thriving economy that was based primarily on betting on the ponies.
Okay, so gambling. Gambling is your method of choice for tough financial times.
Certainly.
All right. That's good. Count, also, you know what? Count, you're so interesting. I sit here, I am just in awe of you. Every time we get to sit down, every time we get to speak, the wealth of knowledge, information, the wellspring of, let's just say, putrescence, that you are sitting there wrapped up in that ultra black cloak. I'm humbled. I am most certainly humbled. What are your, Count, you know what? Let's talk about modern events, current events going on right now. Under both of our noses, mine, obviously, you know, my little cute button nose and your goblin-esque snoutish broom handle, sharpened broom handle that you call a nose over there. What do you think, Count, about the baby formula shortage? Because there's a baby formula shortage, apparently, because I guess the lazy broad's titties don't work anymore. So what's going on, Count? With what are your thoughts on that?
Oh, Dave, I like this. I like when, you know, two bros are just sitting around talking about current events. It's very topical, and I like it very much.
Well, yeah, you know, why not? We'll shake things up, I guess. I'm a little late to the party today, so I got some sleep. So I'm a little rested. I'm a little wily. I'm a little cagey today, so we can maybe go a little loosey-goosey and just rap, just two bachelor studs sitting around being poor, talking about gambling. That's fun. That sounds like a fun to me. But you, baby formula shortage, titties, your thoughts?
I think it's a very, very serious problem, and I would like everybody to have nice, healthy babies, because if you have a nice, healthy baby, then they grow up into a nice, healthy victim with lots and lots of sweet, hot blood.
That makes sense. That makes sense. You're very fiscally responsible. And wise. I've always said that about you, Count. But see, this is what I don't understand. I mean, I don't really see what the problem is here, because so you have a bunch of kids who can't eat, again, lazy broads. But men can breastfeed as well, right? Because we live in fucking retard la la land. So what's the problem? Just get a bunch of dudes. I'll volunteer. Any of you lazy ladies out there whose tits don't work, come. I right now I identify as someone overflowing with a bounty of baby juice right here in my tihas, and anyone. Oh, this is an open invitation / open challenge. I mean, to be blunt, Count, I'm ready to be milked. You could say I'm ripe. I'm ripe with precious, life-giving baby syrup. So come and get it. I got your answer right. Guys, we could all do it. Guys can do anything too. I'm menopausal. I'm on my period. I'm pregnant. I'm all these things and more, because this world needs to end. I think. So get your act together, ladies. I mean, I don't understand what you fucking you got one job. Make booby Gatorade, and you can't even do that. We got a shortage of that stuff too.
Dave, I don't think you understand what baby formula is.
No, I certainly don't. It's just tit juice, right? Or the fucking equivalent. Again, lazy moms, we have to subsidize these lazy women whose titties don't work. So we have to make synthetic tit juice. It makes me sick. Makes me sick to my stomach. I'm not even a baby. I just hate lazy boobies. That's all. That's my problem, Count. I'm very fiscally responsible in the bra. You see, I'm sorry. Just makes me, just all these starving, suckling babies out there licking the air and whatnot, you know, It's disgusting. Disgusting, and it makes me very sad. I was a baby once. I remember being a fresh hatchling, you know, flopping around on the floor. And my mom just throwing like a dead mouse for me to play with slash suckle from. My mom would just find pregnant vermin. Mammalian, preferably. And then just give them to me to, and she was like, here, take this, do something with this. And I found a way. Life, like, did we learn nothing from Jurassic Park? Life will find a way. And if you're out there and you're a mom, because you're irresponsible, obviously, and you can't feed your baby because you have lazy titties and no formula, find a pregnant mouse and let nature take its course. Guys, I can't sit here and solve all today's problems. I do have things to do. Speaking of which, Count, the fun just never ends here. Do you have a question for me? Because I'd certainly like to hear it. Here in the gorgeous, golden, sensual candlelight.
It's time for Ask Dave. Verai, Count Dracula, get to ask you, Dave. Any one question that you must answer completely and totally honestly.
I am ready, both, to be milked, to be harvested for my juices. And also, to answer your question, give it to me. Give me a milking. Literally and hyphenetically.
Dave, how did you spend your Memorial Day?
Well, Count, as I don't need to tell you this, obviously, but I'm a patriot. First and foremost, I love my country, all right? Sure. We're filled with poor, lazy tits. But those are my lazy tits. Those are my poor, lazy tits. And Memorial Day is a day for reflection, okay? Where we sit back and we look at the ultimate sacrifice that someone made because they knocked up their girlfriend and had to join the army. And also, I guess, maybe every now and again, somebody actually cares and is like, hey, you know what? I want to fight for this country. I mean, that happens too. Don't get me wrong. But more often than not, right? Am I right or am I wrong on that? But reality aside, the cruel tenets of reality aside, anyone who actually put their lives and certainly their time on the line to serve in any capacity this country, all jokes aside, I have a tremendous amount of respect for. It's something I could never do because, I mean, look, I never said this before, Count, but I was this close to joining the special forces, obviously. They came to me. They asked me, you know, I didn't go. They tried to recruit me, but my breasts were so full. I failed the medical. Only, I mean, I was in peak health, peak physical condition, obviously, look at me. But I did fail the medical because my generous bust line was too swollen with precious life-giving baby formula, we'll say. We will say, yeah. So I couldn't. I was crestfallen. I was heartbroken. But you know, we'll be all right. We'll be all right without my. Besides, just me on a battlefield would break so many rules of war? You know what I mean? Isn't there something in warfare against like cruel and unusual punishment? Just weapons of, weapons of mass destruction? Like my left hook and my right cross, for example? You know, that's just not even fair. You may as well throw fucking doomsday out there, okay? It's just not going to work. So for the sake of international fairness, I've remained a civilian. But Memorial Day, I had a great Memorial Day count because I spent it the way everyone who loves America should spend their Memorial Day. Pondering the intricacies and the complexities of freedom, of patriotism, of romanticism, and eroticism. And this past Monday, I took my brand new gun to the firing range, and I, for the sake of this country, obviously, to sharpen my own skills in defense of this wonderful land, I shot a bunch of posters of stuff. And I'm so excited, Count, because here in my hot little hands, you know, not only did I purchase another lovely, glorious firearm, but it's something I've wanted for a very, very long time. And what better time than Memorial Day to celebrate the military history, the impeccable service history of the legendary 1911. And I always wanted one of these fuckers. And now that I have one, I was right to want one because it fucking rules. I love it. I love this. I'm sorry. I'm getting Instacart. And they're texting me all the wonderful things they don't have. Oh, sorry, we don't have this. We don't have this. We don't have this. Give me $300. Okay. That's fair. That's fair also. But back to weaponry. Back to weaponry and motherfucking freedom. Do you like it, Count?
Well, I'd like it a lot more if you weren't pointing it directly at me.
Well, just watch your step and you'll be fine. No sudden movements, and there's a small chance you'll walk out of here undead instead of super dead, instead of super duper dead. But here's the thing. I got to put this away because I'm just gonna sit here eye fucking this beautiful contraption. Here, I always wanted a 1911 style pistol. The pistol that's 100 years of service to our guys and gals. The iconic pistol, American pistol of the World Wars and all wars, the pistol to end all wars, figuratively and literally. And I love the way I love the thinness of it, the length of it. It's classic. It is a timeless design, and I always wanted one, but they're gruesomely expensive. And I don't mind gruesomely expensive, mind you. I'm all about wasting money. That's fine. And you listen to my monologue after all. But my thing is, I have an issue paying a gruesome amount of money for something I'm not actually going to carry. And I wouldn't carry. I love 911s. I like them a lot. I think they're very, very cool, but I wouldn't carry one. Right? So I'm not really gonna. What the fuck? Are they even open? All I'm getting is text messages. We don't have this. We don't have this. Do you still want to pay us? We'll just drive to your house and kick you in the fucking nuts and charge you for it. Jesus, guys. What is happening? My God. I'm sorry. Now I'm upset. They're texting me the same thing. Oh, just refund it. Leave me alone. God. Every single thing on my Instacart order has a replacement. I'm good at this, guys. I don't want to go outside. I'm good at Instacart. If it doesn't have the one thing, you get the backup thing. Don't you know? Do I have to do your job for you? I'm sitting here talking about freedom. Williams. God. Anyway, before I was so crudely interrupted, I have no problems spending an absurd amount of money on something. That's kind of my specialty, you know? My issue is spending an absurd amount of money on something that's just going to, like, you know, sit somewhere and I'm going to look at from time to time and be like, oh, look how cool this is, right? And you know me, Count, I'm a historian. I'm a historian of life. I'm a historian of warfare and things like this. So, you know, like I got a Beretta M9, which was the U.S. military's sidearm of choice for what, 20 some years or whatnot. And then the service pistol before that was the 1911. So in my dedication to history, obviously this was the logical next step in my evolution of arsenal. So yeah, so I always wanted a 1911, but I didn't want to spend a whole crazy amount of money for it. And then this particular 911? This particular 1911? I'm sorry. Again, you know, very historical. So yes. This particular 1911 is not grossly expensive. It was not. This was like the fine. The perfect price point for something I really, really want, but totally, totally, totally don't need / I'm not going to use too crazy much. So what I have here in my hot little hands, Count, as you can see, obviously pointed directly between a beady set of red eyes, is my new service. If I'm being technical, it's a 1911 A1. Which is a little bit of a refined design. They changed some stuff from the original 1911. Eventually, I want to get a real one, like an actual one, like a cult government model fucking 19. That's what I want to get eventually, but those are very expensive. They're too expensive again. At this point in time, for this particular guy. But this right here, the one I got, is I believe it was imported. It's Turkish. It's Turkishly built, and it's a Tisas 1911, TISAS, which is an odd sounding name, and it was imported by, I think, SDS imported it or something like that. And it was like around $400, and it had good reviews, and that's really all I needed. I watched some reviews on YouTube on this particular gun. It's pretty newish, and it's like precisely made for Dave's purposes. It's like, have you always wanted a 1911 pistol, but don't want to go crazy for it because you'll probably, you know, lose it or drop it or paint it blue? Then you should probably buy this. It's good. It's pretty good, and it's cheap. So, hey, done and done. Here's my mun. Give me my gun. And here we are. Memorial Day. No finer time to go shoot some motherfucking 45 caliber bullets through some things. And that is exactly, Count Dracula, how this guy spent his Memorial Day. And boy, let me tell you, it's a fun time. Fun time to be had by all. It's actually, before this, before my newest darling, I've yet to name this yet because I'm running out of girl names. And you'll say out there, Dave, what are you talking about? There are a lot of girl names. True. But I can't have any of my weapons names end the same way. And there's only so many ways you can end a girl name. You know what I mean? So I'm still thinking. I'm still pondering. She is, as of yet, unnamed. But I'll get there. I'll get there. Don't you worry about that. But I've never actually shot a 45 caliber anything before. And so this is my first time doing that. And I was kind of surprised. Because I was expecting a lot of recoil. And it was more than a 9mm, which is what I usually shoot, but not too much more. But again, the gun is heavy as fuck. It's enormous. So yeah, that makes sense. I mean, it absorbs a lot of the recoil weight, and I'm used to, like, you know, polymer smaller 9mm. So also, I'm just a big hunk of man, you know, so big guy like me shooting a 45, yeah, I shoot fucking 85 caliber, it's fine, whatever, no big deal, you know, just, it's a mosquito bite pretty much, in hands like mine, but I love it, Count. It is an iconic piece of history. I've always loved the way 1911s look. They're gorgeous, they're beautiful. I did not feel like spending a grotesque amount of money. This was not a grotesque amount of money. And that is a fiscally responsible decision on my part. So I would like you now to please take this time to congratulate me. Or else.
Dave, you can threaten me all you want.
Allegedly.
Okay, you can allegedly threaten me all that you want. With your new gun. But you know what I'm going to say. It's a completely unnecessary expense and you shouldn't have gotten it.
Count. How dare you disgrace our fallen troops by telling me I shouldn't have bought a 1911 and celebrated bang-banging things on Memorial Day. I will not sit here with breasts this full and hear you say things like that.
It's just the truth, man, and you know it.
Count, you must not know about me. All right? I'm incredibly financially knowledgeable and fiscally wise. Duh. Look around. Just look around you. At the lap of luxury that we live in. Sitting here with our Instacart order where they have nothing. I'm going to get a bag full of Tic Tacs. And that's going to be my Instacart order. This is not a gun, Count. This is an investment in our future. See?
Okay, well, answer me this. How is this investment in our future different than the last one you got? Or the one before that? Or the other, I don't know, 6 or 7 of them?
A fair question, I would say. But I'll get back to you on that. In due time. All in due time. My friend. My finely fanged friend. That is what I'm going to... You know, listen. We're getting off track here. We're getting off topic. This is about freedom. This is about patriotism. This is about history. The history of baby formula and lazy titties. And all of this. You're perverting it. You're perverting it. We're here. There's candles. There's guns. What more could you possibly ask for?
a raise. You could give me that.
Count, haven't you been paying attention? We're in a recession. I would love, you know what, let me, all right, I'll tell you something. I'll tell you something, Count. I was going to triple your pay. I was going to pay you 3 times Zilchberg is what I was willing to shell out for you and your peculiar talents. But I looked at all of our competition and they're cutting back on spending. So will I. See? So there's that, but we're getting sidetracked here from the main event, the main course of matters.
Ooh, Dave.
Yes, Count.
Before you, get balls deep in another topic. I have a question.
You just had your ass, Dave. And you questioned my buying decision. You questioned my buying power, Count. So now you will have to deal with my firepower.
Could I please ask you? It's a short one. It's not really like anything in depth. That's why I didn't do it for the Ask Dave.
Count, you know I don't like when we break the rules here.
Oh, I don't know, Dave. You seem like such a rebel to me. Maybe I was wrong about you.
Well, no. All right, look, I am quasi-rebellious, I guess. I mean, I have been compared to Han Solo a time or two in my day, very dashing rogue archetype. All right, go ahead, ask me a question. Go ahead, Count, another one. But again, it has to be brief. We have a schedule, we have topics, we have things to do, and papers to shoot. Go ahead.
Are you going to watch the new Obi-Wan Kenobi show? It just came out. And I know that you like all of that dorky shit.
No. I have zero interest in the Obi-Kenobi show. And I, for a few reasons, I think. I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm going to say, buckle up and take a picture, because it doesn't happen often. I'm going to say some nice things about the prequels. I don't have many nice things to say, but I am going to be positive on a few aspects. Okay. One, I always thought it was a great choice. This Ewan McGregor person as young Obi-Wan Kenobi. It works. It's a good choice. You're done good. Speaking of which, Count, this, I don't know if this is true or not. I heard this on a movie or a documentary or a YouTube video, or I read it scrawled upon a bathroom wall in lipstick. I don't know. But apparently, when a little underground movie project called Star Wars A New Hope came out, and they were paying the actors, right, when they were doing like contracts or whatever with the actors, apparently they said, look, we'll give you a choice. We can pay you X amount of dollars right here and right now, and then that's it. So you get like a one-time payday and then that's it. Or we'll give you like 1% of the movie. You could take that as your payment. And everybody took the money except the guy who played Obi-Wan Kenobi. What was his name? Alec Guinness or something like that? He was like, what the fuck? I'll take 1%. And as you would expect, Obi-Wan Kenobi, the wisest of the bunch. Could you imagine? You have 1% of fucking Star Wars. I bet Alec Guinness and his estate can certainly buy a legitimate 1911, you know? Yeah, but we're not there quite yet. We're not there quite yet, Count. But we will be someday. Someday. Someday soon. That is what we will get. But I can appreciate that they actually got Ewan McGregor to do this show. That's cool. But we're in a very, very super dangerous time right now because Star Wars is so played out and they're killing, well, they've killed, obviously, this particular intellectual property with show after show after show after movie after movie after new movie after side movie this, side movie that, Star Wars, Star Wars, Star Wars. I remember years and years and years and years ago, there was rumor that they were going to do a Star Wars TV show, but it was going to be an HBO show. This was before Disney Plus, before all that shit. It was going to be like an HBO show of Star Wars, but it wasn't going to be following anyone in particular. Every episode, I forget where I heard this. I think it was I think at the time magazines were around and it was like a story in a magazine or something like that. But allegedly there was going to be a long time ago, a Star Wars show, like an HBO Star Wars show. And it's not like a TV show, like the Sopranos where it just follows the same people around. It was going to be different every week. So one week it would follow this one character and it would be an adventure about something else. And then the next week it would follow, I don't know, whatever, a stormtrooper going to visit his kids on Memorial Day to take him out to the, you know, 45 caliber blaster rifle range training or whatever the fuck, whatever stormtrooper dads do on Memorial Day with their kids. Go fishing, I guess. In Manan. So that would have been neat. You see? That would have been great because what you could do is you can have an episode of this show and do a little bit of fan service. I don't know, follow around an established character or whatnot. Next week, maybe introduce a new character. Add new things. Breathe new life into this lush and vast creative universe. That's what they could have done. Anyway. Or we could do a show about a palette swap of Boba Fett. We can do Scorpion Sub-Zero, Reptile, Rain, whatever, Robot Ninja. We could do all of that instead because you don't have to think. You just say, oh, this is Boba Fett palette swap, man. You like Boba Fett? Then you like this guy. Oh, you like Yoda? What about a cute little baby Yoda? Huh? Because I have absolutely nothing to contribute to Star Wars. But that wasn't enough. They were like, wait a minute. I have an idea. If people liked palette swap Boba Fett, maybe they'll like old fat Boba Fett. Maybe they'll like Boba Fett. And we'll do a show about old, slow, dumb Boba Fett. And it'll be dumb. It'll be a real bad idea. And we'll do that, okay? And so they did. Because obviously money means nothing to these monsters. But we're not done. Because hey, you know, Ewan McGregor's kicking around. Let's buy him a sailboat. And let's just do another fucking Star Wars. See, when you... it is a bad move to do these in-between stories, right? Filling in gaps of time. Because the more shit you add... See, the end of the story's already been told. And when you're filling in gaps here or there, all you can do is fuck this up. So stop. See? Start fresh. Make a brand new character. And when I say brand new character,
person out there who's like, what are you talking about? The Mandalorian's a new character. I mean, he just looks exactly like an already established character, but he's different colors. And Baby Yoda's a completely new character who just looks like another character, but younger and littler. If that is enough to satisfy you, you're a dirtbag. I can't sugarcoat it anymore. If you look at the Mandalorian and you look at Baby Yoda and you think height of creative excellence, you're fucking retarded. I'm sorry. Here at Atomic Disaster Theater, we're of higher minds. We expect a little bit more from people making millions and millions of dollarinos, of rapidly devaluing dollars, okay? And here we are again. Another old character who's been run through the mill and done to fucking death, and now we're going to fuck the body. I don't want to see it. I don't care. Maybe it's good. I just don't care. I'm bored with Star Wars. It's stupid and it's dumb. And I want them to stop. I want no new Star Wars projects for 50 years. And you know what, Count? I'm sorry. I'm playing hardball. I am not going to produce any more breast milk until they stop with these fucking Star Wars shows. Because it's hurtful. And it's unnecessary. Thank you. So no, Obi-Wan Kenobi, I don't care. I don't care at all. All they're going to do is fuck shit up. And it's garbage. It's garbagey garbage. And I will have no part in it. Because I demand masturbation. So I don't have time. I don't have time to sit and watch a stupid show about some guy in a desert somewhere. Oh, great. Another desert planet. Awesome. Wow. Oh, God. Tatooine again, huh? Yeah, wow. Can't get enough of this. Can't get enough of this wasteland planet. That's cool. Just an infinite amount of locations, interesting characters, interesting ideas, or dusty, or Arizona. That's just as good. Just as good, right? Fuck off. Hate it. Bad idea. Disagree. Obi-Wan Kenobi, the Force is not with you. Fuck off.
Well, Dave, I mean, say what you want, but as bad as the Boba Fett show was, according to you anyway, I don't watch that shit, I'm cool, it did give you something consistent to talk about. And the Obi-Wan show would do the same.
Yeah, I guess. I can see myself watching it maybe sometime if I just am desperate, like desperate for something to talk about. But right now, as I live, Count, and as I breathe, in this here day and age, I'm going to pass on Obi-Doo Kenobi because I don't care, Nobi, about Shinobi. For now. I'm never gonna watch it ever until I watch it. Those are my thoughts on the Obi-Wan Kenobi show. So there's that. There is most certainly that. But I wanna close on something actually joyous. Because how little do I know the love of a mother. Or joy, and I'm feeling it, and I have to express it. I have to come here, and I have to express my absolute glee, my bliss, to the world. I cannot keep my smile, the golden sun rays of my smile. No longer can I hide them. I can now reveal my smile to the Jedi. I found myself overjoyed, delighted, in heat the other day because I saw a certain name trending on Twitter. That name, of course, Count Dracula, was Ashley. And I thought to myself, no. This can't be what I think it is. Could it? And I checked, and it was. And I'm very pleased to report the trailer for the Resident Evil 4 remake is birthed into the world. And I, with all honesty, with 1000% transparency and honesty and sexuality, when I watched the trailer, you know when a kid gets really excited and he starts like stomping his feet really quickly? I did that. I'm not proud to admit, but I absolutely positively kicked and stomped my feet like an excitable little boy on Christmas, for example, because this is how badly I want to have sex with a fictional character. Yes, Resident Evil 4, the remake, it is going to happen. They even have a release date, March, I think 24th. 2023, a scant few days after my birthday, they're hitting me up with the Resident Evil 4 remake. It's like they know, right? It's like they're saying, Dave, you had a rough few years. Here's something cool. Here's something cool for you. And heavens to Betsy. Do I appreciate that? Very, very, very much. My thoughts on what I saw. Actually, I really do think I'm fair. And I did think that the trailer was pretty underwhelming. I get it. Like, I understand, right? They don't want to give away too much. But there was something about it that seemed very... I think they could have done more with less. It's kind of odd. I think they sort of showed a little bit too much, where it seemed kind of fractured and it wasn't like a cohesive trailer. It's weird. I don't know. It's weird. Like I kind of would have wanted something simpler. I'm having a hard time verbalizing also because I keep getting messages because these fucking Instagram people drive me up. They're making me very, very sad. I mean, I should be able to sit here lazy in the comfort of my own home and not be bothered by all the things they don't have that I'm paying them for. That's not, don't they know about my gorgeous new 1911 A1. Anyway, I have such a fondness for Resident Evil 4. Is it my favorite Resident Evil game? The first Resident Evil will always have a place in my heart, both the original and the GameCube remake that they did. I love them both. And 4, I love so much. It really is a toss-up. You can really just either or, I guess. And I know that Resident Evil 4 is pretty polarizing, I guess, but it was so necessary. It really was. If we're being fair, and, you know, you could blind fanboy service aside, if we're being fair, if you're really looking down the list and you're being honest with yourself, like a big complaint. Ah, my stuff's here. Okay, hold on. A big complaint is Instacart not having my things. So I'm going to go pick up my Tic Tacs outside, my $78 Tic Tacs, just a bag with a pack of Tic Tacs in it. I'll be right back. Okay, I'm sorry. Sorry about that. But yeah, no matter what your thoughts are on 4, because I understand some people don't like it. Those people are called idiots. But I mean, I guess I get it. Because 4 did take Resident Evil in... Resident Evil 4 is kind of like blamed for Resident Evil going in a more action direction as opposed to straight up survival horror. Yeah, to a point, I guess. But I thought it was necessary. I thought the franchise needed to change because it was boring. It was really getting samey. And if you want to talk about making Resident Evil an action movie, funny how nobody talks about 2, where you find like 75 bullets on top of a garbage can every other room, and there's just 900 zombies everywhere you go, right? This has always been my complaint about Resident Evil 2. And part of the reason why I never liked it. The part of what made the first Resident Evil so scary was their use of mood and time. There were long stretches of Resident Evil, the first one, where you're in this big spooky house and you're just kind of roaming around. And there are monsters, true, but they're not everywhere. And it kind of gave you this weird sense of dread when you're just like exploring this big spooky mansion in silence. And then in 2, they upped the zombie factor by a multitude of like 17. And instead of making it more scary, it just kind of made it dumb. And it just kind of made it like an action game where you're picking, you know, you're picking up hundreds and hundreds of bullets all over the place. I don't know. I never liked to. They expanded the scope of it, which decreased the horror of it, in my personal opinion. So if you want to talk about Resident Evil going into more action orientation, I guess, okay, but you can't. I don't think you can put the blame fully on 4, really. And I don't know. I just think 4 was a breath of fresh air to a franchise that was drowning in its own or suffocating in its own stagnation. Because by that time, it was like what? 1, then 2. Did Code Veronica come out and then 3? I think, right? I know Code Veronica slipped in there somewhere. I don't know. And again, I hated Code Veronica too. It just, Resident Evil was getting very samey. And they were just following this like lame kind of formula. And it was just, it wasn't going anywhere. And then 4 came and it changed the direction of the franchise and made it different, not just gameplay. Sure, they retooled the whole, you know, tank control. I'm sorry if I'm talking weird. I have Tropical Adventure Tic Tacs in my face right now because it's, you know, summertime, obviously.
summertime, tropical, firearms, all that stuff. Resident Evil 4 changed the game, in my opinion, for the better. It was so new. It was so different for a game that desperately needed it. And it was every single thing that the franchise needed, in my humble opinion. It wasn't even zombies this time, right? See, to me, Resident Evil 4 stands out as what this game could be. You know what I mean? And they didn't go the zombie route. They went creepy, weird, Spanish cult, kidnapping, unbelievably hot piece of presidential daughter ass. And that's exactly what they needed. They needed a dozen milligrams of hot presidential daughter ass. And boy, did they deliver here. Okay. And I love Resident Evil 4. Absolutely to death. I'm very much enjoying playing through it again in VR and dying all the time. Cause did I mention I suck at video games? So I'm dying like crazy, but I'm having fun. I'm having a great time. Reuniting with Ashley once more. It's been all I've ever wanted in life. And now in just under a year, I'll get to do it all over again with much better graphics for much better oogling, we'll say. And they showed her for like a little split second in the trailer. And let's just say I was very pleased. I was very, very pleased. So I'm thrilled about the Resident Evil 4 remake. But, you know, and I said this when Resident Evil 8 or Village or whatever the fuck you want to call it. I said this when that came out, and I still stand on it because I'm right, first of all. They have been talking about redoing Resident Evil 8 for a really, really long time. I don't think it was a surprise, right? They redid Resident Evil 2. And as much as I don't like the original Resident Evil 2, I thought the Resident Evil 2 remake was great. I really enjoyed it. I think they did a great job with it. The 3 remake, I mean, I never really cared for 3 all that much outside of Jill's outfit because she looked like an angel in Resident Evil 3, obviously. But as far as the game goes, I don't really remember much from it. I don't even think I finished 3. I know I bought it when it came out. And then even by then, I was just kind of like, same old, like it's just the same shit, you know? Yeah. So the 3 remake was pretty lackluster and short, I guess, but I didn't really care. Like it was all right. It was fine, I guess. Nothing tremendous. They didn't need to do it. I don't think people are clamoring for a Resident Evil 3 remake, really. If you put it to a vote, I don't think 3 would really be anywhere near the top of the list. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. But it wasn't that great. So it was only a matter of time before Capcom needed new sailboats. So they were going to redo 4, obviously. But here's my thing. When Resident Evil 8 came out, you were roaming around a spooky European village. And then you got attacked by like a bunch of spooky villagers. And they attacked you in wave after wave after wave after wave after wave. And you had to fight them off. And then something happened. A big scary sound happened. And all the villagers kind of fucked off and left you alone. And then you roamed around spooky, scary village for a while. And then you went into a big, scary, spooky castle. After that. Can you see where I'm going with this? Because if anybody remembers Resident Evil 4, which is 4 Resident Evils ago,
you're in a spooky village in Europe, and then you go to a big spooky castle in Europe, and you fight a bunch of weirdos there. So I've read in articles or whatever about Resident Evil 8 that they were like paying homage to 4 with kind of the basic flow. But I mean, that's great and all. But if you're going to remake 4, if the next Resident Evil project is the 4 remake, then why are you doing that in 8? I don't know. I thought it was kind of silly. Kind of silly and kind of dumb. But anyway, doesn't detract from my love of Ashley. I'm coming. Don't be scared, Ashley. I'm coming again. And again and again and again. Mm. Mm. But I'm looking forward to it. I think it's going to be cool. With these remakes, I like how they handle the remakes, because it's not just like a straight translation with better graphics. You know, they put in new parts, they put in new stuff. So I'm looking to I just want to smile. Can you please make me happy? Please? My Instacart order was just shambles, you know? I paid $137 for a mouthwash and a bag of Tic Tacs. That's, you know, okay, I guess that's all you got. All right, fine. You know, thanks, ladies, and your lazy tits out there. Formula shortage, fucking Tic Tac shortage. Plenty of Drano, though, to drink. In closing, hail the mighty 1911, and fuck Obi-Wan Kenobi, but fiscally speaking, Obi-Wan Kenobi's got it up here in the noggin, because, you know, 1% of Star Wars buys a lot of canola oil.